You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, gang, welcome to another episode of Locked On Jaguars Podcast. I am Tony Wiggins, sports talking wig on Twitter, along with my co-host, Philip Prues, that is Jackson Phil. And we're going to do something really, really fun tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to say, and it's not the typical stuff, you know, when I say that, okay, what guys need to be successful for the Jaguars season to be successful, obviously, offensively, most people will say, well, the obvious choice is the $88 million quarterback. You know, you're right about that. The quarterback needs to be successful. They've gone out and spent all of this money on a quarterback, and he needs to be successful. Then you'll say, well, on defense, it has to be the obvious. It has to be Calais Campbell and Jalen Ramsey. I'm just going to assume for this exercise, and Phil and I, you know, we talked about this earlier. We're just going to assume for this exercise that Jalen Ramsey is going to Jalen Ramsey. Calais Campbell is going to Calais Campbell. Nick Foles, the quarterback that I mentioned, is going to live up to expectations. And let's just even say Leonard Fournette goes back to rookie form or better, which means he gets 1,250 yards rushing, 11 touchdowns, 300 yards receiving, and he stays healthy. Say he plays 14 and a half games. Okay, we're going to assume that because those are the obvious ones. But what we want to do now, Phil and I want to broach this subject of who can be the guy that actually steps up, that there's an expectation level that he steps up, but he actually meets that expectation level. And then a guy up under him that maybe is a player that's been in development that will step up to the plate when you may be expecting it, but may not be expecting it. So I think this is an exercise that's a lot of fun. You could look at a lot of different areas. Obviously, on offense, it won't be like you're focusing on the offensive line, because when I watch offensive line tape, I have no idea what I'm watching. I have to have other people tell me that. You know, this is not about health. This is not about who's going to stay healthy. Phil, you agree. The offensive line has to stay healthy for them to be successful, but that's not quite what we're talking about here.
Yeah, the offensive line went down, and it was a skeleton crew last year. If those five guys can just play 16 games, I think this could be a top 10 offensive line in the NFL, especially the addition of Juwan Taylor. Actually, on Big Cat Country today, go check it out. I did a really thorough film breakdown of Juwan Taylor, and I watched four games of his over the weekend and today, and I came away liking him a lot more than I originally did. So that's always a positive thing and a good thing. But the offensive line is going to be crucial. I think if you pair a healthy offensive line with Nick Foles, that's got somewhere around a 2.6 second time to throw. We talked about that on a previous show, talking about John DeFilippo's offense. I think you're going to see a huge difference in this team overall.
Right. I absolutely agree with you. So what I'm going to do is, we're going to get into this. We're going to go not that guy that has to step up. First, I'm going to mention the guy on offense that I believe is a bonus if he steps up and can really elevate this team to another level. And I'm going to use some stats to support both of these guys, because they actually play the exact same position. I'm going to focus on the wide receiver position. We know that Leonard Fournette needs to be more reliable and get back to his rookie form. We know that the offensive line has to get better and improve and stay healthy and be available. And then that depth behind them, those guys have to actually give them a rotation of eight or nine people. Because obviously, you know, you think about your first five, but no NFL team goes through a season without those guys being injured. So you still look for those guys behind them depth-wise to give them what they need. So we know that. We know about the quarterback position. I mean, you're finally getting, in my opinion, what I call competent quarterback play, whereas you're not hoping and wishing every day when you come out of the tunnel or you break the huddle that the guy does the right thing. You're trusting that he's going to do the right thing, and then if he sees the wrong thing, he's going to call a timeout. And he does more talking to the coaches than the coaches do to him when he comes to the sideline. So I believe that's what you get in Nick Foles. I focus on the wide receiver position because so many people have talked about in the offseason, Phil, that they didn't add weapons. They didn't do this, that they didn't do that. I often bring this up, and I'll get your comment on this. The two greatest wide receivers in Jaguars history happened to play together. That's not the only thing that they have in common, or they had in common. The one thing that they had in common was they weren't high draft picks. They were guys that they got off the scrap heap from somewhere else, and I'm talking about Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell.
That's a good point. Yeah, people forget that those guys weren't first-round picks, and they developed into what they basically are today. And someone's going to have to step up from that wide receiver group because right now it's just kind of a motley crew. Dede's probably the best one out of there, in my opinion, but Marquise Lee's a huge question mark coming off the injury. Keelan Cole, who is he really? You know, we've seen Odell Beckham catches from him, and then we've seen him drop passes right between the numbers. And then, Wig, they brought in a whole bunch of undrafted free agents to help, you know, compete for that bottom end wide receiver six possibility on the roster. So it's going to be really interesting how it shakes out, and it's probably going to be the biggest storyline that I'm going to pay attention to as we go to OTAs and training camp, whatever's open to the public.
Right, and before we go to break here, because I'm going to tell you who my guys are that I think can either be the breakout guy that you need for this team to be good, and then the other guy that if he is good can make this team successful. I'll tell you something, man. The reason why I'm so happy with what they did in the offseason this year is because of the simple fact that it doesn't seem like it's a status quo thing. It doesn't seem like what they did was go in what I call an empty stomach and just shop with their stomach or shop with their eyes. What they did was they shopped with their brain. They actually went in and said, you know what, we're going to get value. We're going to get guys that can play irregardless of position. We're not going to approach this thing like we actually need help in any specific area. And that's why I'm so optimistic about this Jaguars draft as opposed to some of the drafts in the past where I've been very, very critical. So I'll tease you with this on the way to break. I do believe that the guy that the Jacksonville Jaguars need to be great this year is a wide receiver. And I also, Phil, believe that the guy that the Jaguars need to step up and give them some stuff that they may not have been expecting, but maybe desiring in order for this team to be great, I think he is also a wide receiver. And Phil and I will tell you those two things and who those guys are, and we'll talk about it together when we get back on LockedOnJaguars.com.
All right, guys, she might be thinking that Jaguars football is going through your mind, but I know better. I know what you're really thinking about. You're thinking about sex. Remember the days when you're always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com, that's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable, the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You could take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. This isn't just for guys who cannot perform. It's for any guy who wants that little extra to enhance their performance in the bedroom. And Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visits, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the U.S., and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it free. BlueChew, the better, cheaper, faster choice. And we thank them for sponsoring our podcast.
All right, welcome to LockedOnJaguars.com. I'm T-Wig along with Philip Cruz, Jackson Phil. Okay, I'm just cut right to the chase. I teased it a little bit. my guy, my breakout guy this year, is somebody I'll tell you about in just a minute. But you like that, don't you?
Yeah.
See, you thought I was going to try. My guy that I believe needs to step up to the plate is an individual that was drafted in the second round a year ago, and it's for multiple reasons. DJ Chark out of LSU, I believe, needs to step up. I'm not saying he needs to be a Pro Bowler. I think DJ Chark needs to be a guy that will step up and give them 60 catches a year. Of those 60 catches, maybe 12 of them need to be over 20 yards. He needs to score some touchdowns, and he needs to be what Devontae Adams was the first two or three years that he was in Green Bay. That's what he needs to be for this team in order to be successful running this quote-unquote West Coast offense for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, he has to step it up because I don't know if you remember at the time that they selected him in last year's draft class, they said they had a first-round grade on him, and he just happened to have fallen to that second round. So this is a guy that they clearly evaluated very highly in their process, and it's time to step up and show some of that production and show why they had that first-round valuation on you. When I watched him at the Senior Bowl last year in Mobile, the coaching staff that had him used him perfectly. They used him on reverses. They used him on sweeps. They put the ball in his hands in space, and they let him show off that low 4.3 speed. And whether or not he could be the deep threat, he's an interesting guy because he's built like an X receiver, Wig. He's 6'4", over 200 pounds, right? But he has that speed to be that deep take the top off the defense guy. So exactly how he figures and how he's going to be used in this, John DeFilippo offense, I'm really excited to see. Is he going to be the Alshon Jeffrey type guy, that possession, go up and get it? Because that guy was a really popular asset for Nick Foles. Nick Foles loved Alshon Jeffrey. It seemed like every time Nick Foles went into the game for the Eagles, Alshon Jeffrey's fantasy numbers went up. I know this because I had Alshon Jeffrey all year in fantasy last year. So that's exactly what he needs to be. I think that's what he needs to develop into for the Jaguars moving forward. He's got to take that next step for sure.
He does have to take that next step, and I think Coach Keenan McCardell can do a really good job in helping him take that next step. Of course, I always mention Keenan in two ways. One, he was a rags to riches wide receiver that really earned his way to a borderline Hall of Fame career in this league, and is a Super Bowl champion to boot. The other part of that is we've seen him grab guys and develop them. He was the wide receivers coach at the University of Maryland when Stephon Diggs was there. Stephon Diggs ended up going later than a lot of people expected him to, and you see he's a supreme route runner, gets in and out of his breaks, does a lot of things well. So I think DJ Chark has an absolute chance of being a really, really good player for this team, but he has to step up. Now, can the Jaguars be successful without him doing that? Absolutely they can. But if they're going to be a team that instead of winning 9 games, wins 11, you need a player like DJ Chark to come out of nowhere and step up and be the difference. Remember, I'll use the Los Angeles Rams as an example. They drafted Mike Williams, didn't give him much, was hurt, was injured. Last year, at the end of the season, Mike Williams stepped up as a viable second option to Keenan Allen and was able to be the guy that would go up and make contested catches and that would play really, really well towards the end of the season and even into the playoffs that propelled the Chargers to the next level. I think DJ Chark has to be that guy. Now, I've already teased it a little bit. Is it Marquise Lee? No, I think anything they get out of Marquise Lee at this point will be a bonus. But who's that other guy I'm talking about? That other guy I'm talking about is D.D. Westbrook. I really believe when you look at the numbers, D.D. Westbrook's numbers and what he can potentially do, they stack up very, very well with guys who in their second year or their first or second year put up similar numbers. Devontae Adams, as good as he is right now, he's going into his sixth season. Last year, Devontae Adams with the Green Bay Packers had 111 catches and 1,300 yards. He had 13 touchdowns, right? So you think, okay, well, yeah, Devontae Adams has been on the scene a couple of years. But when you look at his numbers, that was his first 1,000-yard season. He averaged, I don't know what he averaged, but let me tell you this. He had 800 yards the season before that, 900 yards the season before that. He never really was a 1,000-yard receiver, even though he scored a lot of touchdowns. He had 12 touchdowns 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and then 10 the year before last. And then he got 13 touchdowns last year for Green Bay. But that's the kind of progression that you need. Davante Adams is now considered a number one receiver. This is where player development comes into play. I believe D.D. Westbrook is just as good as the Brown kid that was chosen by the Ravens in the first round this year from Oklahoma. D.D. Westbrook won the Biletnikoff Award. I believe he is primed with a new quarterback who can be accurate. I think D.D. Westbrook can be a T.Y. Hilton-type receiver for the Jaguars. What do you think?
I'm glad you brought him up. Speedy D.D. was Hollywood Brown before Marquise Brown was who he was this past year.
Exactly.
And he didn't win a Biletnikoff by accident, Wig. He consistently took the top off the defense, and he was a deep threat, just enigma. You know, nobody could stop him. He was burning people deep time and time again with Baker Mayfield throwing him the football. And see, here's my only issue, because everything that you read about D.D. Westbrook thus far insinuates that he's going to probably be the starting slot receiver. And I know D.D. Westbrook is electric with the ball in his hands. That's why they put him back there for punt returns, which he showed a proclivity of doing last year. But is that really the best use of D.D. Westbrook's talent? This is the guy that blew the top off the defense all, you know, his entire tenure at Oklahoma. And I would like to see him go deep and be kind of that Marquise Brown deep threat, and then see if maybe Marquise Lee can go back into the rotation in that slot and do some of those things that Nelson Agholor does for the Eagles.
No, I'm in total agreement with you with that. I remember when I was on Everyday Radio, we did an interview with the then offensive coordinator who ended up becoming the head coach of Oklahoma. And one of the things that he's discussing, one of the things he talked about was, well, everybody thinks it's because he has a build of a slot receiver. He's a slot receiver. Lincoln Riley's the guy I'm talking about. Everybody thinks that because Dede has a build of a slot receiver, that that's where he played. He said, you may see that on tape, but most of the time he lined up out wide. He's a guy that you can line up everywhere. And that's why I mentioned T.Y. Hilton. And then not only T.Y. Hilton, I think about a guy like DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson to me is the same way. He's a guy you can put anywhere because he's just a natural football player. You can't really put them in a position where you think that they can only do one thing. I'm looking for a huge year from D.D. Westbrook, mainly because they have a quarterback that can see things happening before they occur in Nick Foles. And they have an offensive coordinator in John DeFilippo that has shown a propensity to get guys who have the same skill set like D.D. Westbrook open. So my guys are DJ Chark, D.D. Westbrook for candidates for people that could surprise us and give us something that this team needs to win a championship, and then a guy who can step up out of the development stage and actually be one of those dudes that are people that you look for, people that everyone starts in fantasy football, people that everyone expects to get 6-7 targets every single game and be a threat to score a touchdown. That's my opinion. Now, when we come back on the other side, we'll let Phil focus more on the defense, and I'll give my commentary on who he decides are the best guys to fit that category for the Jacksonville Jaguars to be successful in the 2019-2020 season. That and more when we come back on LockedOnJaguars.com.
Tress Wade. There's some pretty good blocking.
It's a returnable punt.
It is indeed. And let's see what this return man, D.D. Westbrook, does. You called it, Rich. He's got an entourage with a blocker ahead in Green. He gets a block downfield from another defensive back, Meeks, and he takes it in for six. 74-yard return. D.D. Westbrook.
All right, welcome back to LockedOnJaguars.com. This is your boy T-Wig along with Philip Proves, a.k.a. Jackson Phil. Phil, talk to me about this defense. Talk to me about two guys that you think that are going to give us the best chance. When I say us, I mean the Jaguar Nation, the best chance to be successful this year when getting something from guys that need to step up behind those marquee players.
Yeah, so for you as wide receiver, Wig, for me, I'm going all safety. Ronnie Harrison has to be that guy that steps up and is great this year. And I know that's a lot to ask for somebody that's going into their second year as a starter, especially as a third-round pick, but we saw some really good flashes from Ronnie Harrison last year. And with Tashawn Gibson joining the Texans, they're going to be missing a lot of veteran leadership in that safety position. I'm a big safety guy. I love safeties. I think they could really help out a defense with positioning and communication and everything like that. And those are the things that Ronnie Harrison's going to have to pick up on. And if you hear Todd Wash ever talk about Tashawn Gibson, he loved Tashawn Gibson, you know, in terms of him being kind of that underrated guy, the guy that keeps everything together in the back end. He's gone now. So Ronnie Harrison really has to step up and be the guy when it comes to the safety position and really round out the Jaguars secondary.
I agree with you with that. Ronnie Harrison, when he came out of Alabama, had the same, I would say, the same description of skills that Derwin James had. He had the same description of skills that Cam Chancellor had. Everybody wanted to typecast him as a box safety, a guy who could tackle and get down. And for the Jaguar Nation, it's what they thought Jonathan Cyprien was. They thought Jonathan Cyprien was Cam Chancellor, which he wasn't. But you talk about a guy who can get in the box and tackle. Ronnie Harrison has proved that he's way more than that. And I think the safety position, because I used to talk to a scout all the time that told me it is the most difficult position other than quarterback to find in the draft because of the way the college game is played as opposed to or compared to the way the NFL game is played. That those guys are not prepared in college to do, especially in the Earl Thomas role of what is a single high safety, they're not prepared to make those reads, so they don't understand. It's the one position, free safety, where you have to really use those measurables that you get at the combine. You have to really use those measurables that you get when you do individual workouts to see if a guy is capable of doing those things that needs to be done in the NFL, because what happens is you don't actually see him do it in college. So, and what I mean by that is there's a lot of talk. Let me use Leonard Fournette as an example. People said he couldn't run from the shotgun and couldn't catch because they never saw it. So when you're judging the safety, if the safety position, if you're looking at a safety position, you're saying, well, I never saw him do this. I never saw him do that. Well, it's because they don't do a lot of the same things in college that they do in the pros. Then you have to go by the measurables, and then you have to go by his football IQ, and then you have to ask yourself if you're scouting him correctly and he can make these adjustments. The problem is everybody thought that they could go find him on Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas doesn't grow on trees. Ed Reed doesn't grow on trees. Maybe the reason why those teams played that way, Phil, was because Ed Reed and Earl Thomas are so special, they were able to play them that way and they got away with it, as opposed to thinking that you can just go find a guy who can do what those guys do. So now I think what you're seeing is a lot of teams realize that that's the reality. And they're doing what the Jaguars are doing. They're going to more of a split safety look, and they're saying, okay, we're not going to ask you to do those things. So now a guy like Harrison can fall back into that mold and be a little bit more of a space guy, especially if he's shown that on tape in practice, and especially if you can develop him to be something more than what you saw at Alabama. And I think that's exactly what they're looking forward to. And I think he has a big year for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I think he's going to ball out. And like you said, to find a free safety who can truly possess that sideline-to-sideline range like an Earl Thomas is very rare and almost unheard of nowadays. So simple fact of the matter is the Jaguars are now splitting their safeties. Instead of a strong safety, free safety, it's more like a left safety, right safety. You know, right. And each safety is going to have the same responsibilities and essentially try to cover half the field instead of a guy like Earl Thomas that really has to go sideline to sideline and open up that strong safety to kind of dwell down in that box and be more of a striker. Ronnie Harrison can strike, And we also saw that he's more than adequate in coverage last year when afforded the opportunity. Not only when he was in the game at safety, taking over for Barry Church when he was released late in the year, but also when he had to fill in on that special big nickel back. I called it the brute back package, where he had to kind of go man on some tight ends and do some stuff there. So on that note, while I think Ronnie Harrison's the guy that really has to step up, the guy that we can see a little boost from, a nice pleasant surprise, is the guy playing right next to him, Jared Wilson. I'm not going to lie to you, Wig. I'm kind of nervous about Jared Wilson as a starter. I know the team likes him a lot. He was an undrafted free agent out of Michigan. I think one of Tony Khan's guys, I believe, in terms of his analytics that pointed out to Wilson. He got a new deal in the offseason. I'm happy for him. I think that's awesome. He earned it. He played very well when he was asked to, when he was thrust into the starting lineup. But what happens now when you're a full-time starter and teams have tape on you, you know, and they can kind of try to exploit your weaknesses? And you look at the depth chart behind him, they have Cody Davis, who's more of a special teamer, and then C.J. Revis from Marshall last year, who looked pretty good until he got hurt, and then a bunch of undrafted free agents. So if it were me, I would feel a lot more comfortable if they went out and got a guy like Trey Boston, who's still available right now. I don't know what type of price tag he's asking for, or if that has anything to do with why he's still available right now. But that's a guy who started a lot of games in the NFL, who played at a pretty high level last year, as a matter of fact. And that way, at least, if Jared Wilson starts to get exposed or can't do it, you could always go to someone who has starting experience kind of as insurance.
Yeah, you know, this is where I'm torn a little bit, because I think every NFL team needs player development. And I think it is critical, because even when you're a good team, you can't keep everyone. So therefore, you need to always have guys that you're developing. And that's one of the things in the past that I've criticized the Jaguars for not having, is those player development guys. In fact, they haven't hit on a lot of their early round picks. Of course, you look on Twitter, people think they hit on them all. And I have been the biggest critic of Dave Caldwell for that. But my thing is Jared Wilson is the guy that I'm rooting for. But not only because, you know, of my personal interaction with him a little bit, but because I do believe in the concept of player development. I think every single team has to have a group of guys, not only that you re-sign when they're 26 years old and you pick them early, but you have to have those guys that you re-sign when they're 24, 25 years old that you did not pick early, that you develop into your program, because I think it helps your foundation. And I believe he's a foundational guy. My only issue is this. You're right in terms of the experience factor. When you look at the Jaguars defense, and we've talked about it ad nauseum about how they have so much star power at all of the other positions, both in the front seven and at corner, I can tell you right now that every single team, especially those in the AFC South, when they're developing their game plan for the Jaguars, they are looking right at Ronnie Harrison and they're looking right at Jared Wilson and says, that's where we attack. We're not going to attack 20. We're not going to attack 21. We need to avoid everybody in that front seven. We need to make them start to try to hide and shelter those guys in the middle for us to be advantageous. So even if the guys that we talked about earlier on defense play well for the Jaguars, they have to understand it's not good enough to play well for a little while. You got to keep playing well, because they're going to keep coming at you regardless.
Yep. Because that's kind of the angle and the approach that I take for it, right, Wig? Is like, is Jared Wilson starting the ideal situation? It's not the ideal situation. The ideal situation in a perfect world is to have Jared Wilson as the primary backup to both safety spots. That's where a lot of his value is, the fact that he could do that. You could plug him in if Ronnie Harrison got hurt. You would be able to plug in him if another free safety got hurt, and you probably won't see a huge drop-off in play. That's really valuable. But to your point, I'm extremely excited for him. And that's why I thought he'd be a good candidate for this little boost. If you could provide a little boost and, you know, end up playing really well this year, then you got a player that's under contract, I believe, 3 more years now. Right, Wig? I think off the top of my head.
And not a hard price.
Right.
Not a hard price.
Exactly. So if he does end up panning out and developing, like you said, that to me is the definition of a nice little surprise or a boost for this team that could really take it to the next level. I'm rooting for him like hell. You know, I want him to be really good. But it, like you said, if I'm an opposing offensive coordinator, that's where I'm attacking. I'm not going to, you know, try to go after Jalen Ramsey or A.J. Boye on man coverage on the outside. I'm going to try to figure out a way to, you know, hit those seams and try to expose the defense in that way. So we'll see how it goes for Jared Wilson, but I'm extremely excited to see him play. I think he's earned it. I'm looking forward to it, but it's just one of those things where it is a little bit of an uncertainty right now.
No, it is an uncertainty, but one thing that is uncertain is the fact that we'll continue to dissect these things as we move forward. And this was fun, man. This is the first foray into this. I'm sure we'll do this in some of the weeks leading up to training camp, but this is fun for us because we talked about doing something like this, about where could they get the extra boost that you need, that it seems like every team around the league that makes a run, they always get this extra boost from somewhere on both sides of the ball. And I think we've pointed out some critical points for the Jaguars in this segment. And look, we're going to have even more of this coming up sooner or later. Phil and I, we work hard on these subjects and we talk about this thing. At some point, it's going to start to write itself. These stories are going to start coming out. We're going to have so much content that it's not even funny. So we're going to continue to dive into these things on LockedOnJaguars.com. Look, available on all platforms. You subscribe. It's cool to listen. We love you to listen, but we'd also like you to subscribe on LockedOnJaguars.com on the Locked On Sports Network. Look, this is for Philip Pruse and T-Wig. We're going to come back at you with a couple of another episodes later on this week. Phil, man, it was fun, man. Thanks a lot.
Always a blast. We'll catch you guys later on this week.
All right, LockedOnJaguars.com. Tell everybody about it, man, because we're doing this bit. We're talking about these Jags.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.